inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sycamore. With me is Benjamin Solak. Wonderful Tuesday edition of the podcast. Ben, we got some big news to talk about today
big news.
The podcast. And that is longtime former Super Bowl and MVP quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton, flat out released. Can you believe it?
No, it's big sad. Cam, here's the thing. Cam was so good in 2015. And then since then, it's just been so badly downhill. Here's what's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Cam 2015 is MVP season. They make it to Super Bowl 50. They go 15-1.
Not bad. Although it could have been better. Let's be real. If 15-1
could have been 16-1.
It could have been better.
17-1.
No.
All of these options
add
on
up.
The table.
What?
No, but okay. And this was actually Roger Sherman of the Ringer tweeted this out, which was pretty funny. So he said, "Do you ever think about how in 2015 Cam Newton threw for 35 touchdowns and ran for 10 more while his team went 15-1 and made the Super Bowl with Ted Ginn and Corey Philly Brown as their two starting receivers?" And like, dude, I didn't realize, like, this was 2015. This was not that long ago. And in my head, I was like, Newton had wide receivers. Like, you had, like, you know, Benjamin and Funchess. No. It was like Ted Ginn and Corey Brown.
Listen, man, don't you dare slander Ted Ginn, okay? This man has played
on
championship.
Remember that one time Ted Ginn got a pass?
Caliber rosters his entire life, all right? He was at Ohio State, scored the initial touchdown against Florida, all right? Broke his ankle immediately afterwards, I think. Then plays for the Panthers, goes to the Super Bowl in 2015. Now he's on the Saints. And he's just making deep playoff runs every year. Look, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to win, just get Ted Ginn on the roster. God's clearly favoring this man. He's clearly showing him the way to football success.
Where in the scouting report is God's favor as a trait?
Dude, I've never
seen it.
I mean, that
market
means
inefficiency?
Your scouting reports are incomplete. I'm here to figure
regardless.
Out why it's part of the character evaluation, right? I want medicals, all right? I want medical red flags. I want character red flags, and I want to know if they are in favor of the good Lord. It all goes into it, man. That's why scouting is such a deep, detailed process, because you got to know these things. So Cam Newton gets released.
Yeah. So
funny enough, 24 hours prior, was it 24 hours prior?
24 hours prior.
Kyle Allen gets dealt for a fifth-round pick, and Cam Newton just gets flat-out released. Do you find that? Let's talk about that first. Do you find that part weird at all?
Well, so this serves as a critical reminder that you cannot define player value relative via the trade market. People like to say, well, he's not good. He was traded for an actor. He's good.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
This player went for that, so there's no way this player isn't going for that. And it's just like, firstly, the NFL trade market is not big enough. It's not active enough. There aren't enough trades for you to really define it as a consistent market, where outliers won't have a significant effect on what you believe to be true about the relative costs and demands and whatnot and so forth. So that's one. Two, the landscape changes too much for you to define any consistency in the sense of, like, what is Newton right now? Is Newton what he was?
According to Bill O'Brien, he's probably worth two first-round picks.
Right. But, like, even, like, in the back half of 2017...
Actually, Bill O'Brien would trade Carolina their first-round pick just so Carolina would release him and then sign him.
Okay, this is not a Bill O'Brien pod.
Yeah, but it should be, because the guy's ruining the NFL trade market. The man is single-handedly tanking logic, okay? When he traded Nuke Hopkins for a second-round pick and a bad running back, all right, I stared at my ceiling for hours before I was able to go to sleep. What am I supposed to tell my kids, Ben? What am I supposed to tell them?
That it...
Good thing I don't have kids. All right, sorry. Go on.
I would just tell your kids not to worry about Bill O'Brien, to be honest.
Whew.
Okay, Cam Newton in 2015, Super Bowl MVP, or Super Bowl quarterback, MVP quarterback. 2016, not as great.
True.
Benched for bad dress code, right? 2017.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah, that was 2016 was when he had the game where he didn't dress in the right thing and so Rivera benched him. Which, like, if I'm ever able to totally get to my final point of this monologue, will become interesting later.
You know that this is the entire game of a podcast episode, is for me to try to...
It's how long you can get me to try to stay on one point by just interjecting with unimportant things.
Every time I hit the record button, it's just another chance for me to mentally break you.
2017! Good year. Panthers make the playoff. 2018, mm-hmm. Shoulder injuries.
Yeah.
The velocity clearly isn't there. Yeah. He's getting pulled for Hail Marys, whatever. 2019, again, he by week three, I think it was, Liz Frank injury, and he's out for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Rivera was the head coach of the Carolina Panthers this whole time. Ron Rivera had himself a offensive rookie of the year, an eventual MVP caliber player. And then in the four seasons after his MVP debut, Super Bowl berth, 2016 and 2017, they barely made a mark in the NFC playoffs. And obviously 2018, 2019, injured the shoulder and whatever. Rivera immediately gets hired in Washington. And I like the hire because I think Rivera is going to make Washington better than they were under Jay Gruden. But, like, I do a little bit have the question of, like, if you couldn't do it with Newton, with whom? Whomst? What quarterback do you need to win a Super Bowl?
Well, I don't know if
dude, 2015 Cam Newton was a revelation.
Yeah, but
2015 was Cam Newton.
Okay,
was Ben
all right. Okay,
we're gonna
go back and we're gonna look at Carolina's exact roster from 2015. Okay.
Yeah, Luke Kuechly, Josh Norman, Thomas Davis. Heard they're good.
I've never heard of any of those players in my entire
life. Oh man, I always remember that one time Kawan Short was bad, and what, who they had Julius Peppers yet or no?
Talking about the offense. Where are we here? Okay, so we're looking at 2015 season. So it'd be 20.
Benjamin for the regular season. He got hurt. They were running Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, so they had what? Jericho Cotchery, Kelvin Benjamin. Or was this
wow,
the year? Or,
Jericho Cotchery.
Or was this the year before? This might be the year before.
Okay, so
2016.
They started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here
we
go.
Ted Ginn and Corey Brown.
Corey Brown, Ted Ginn.
Jonathan Stewart was running it. Greg Golson and Ed Dixon, they were base 12 team. They had Mike Remmers, Andrew Norwell, Ryan Khalil, Trey Turner, mm-hmm. which, like, was lit. But then, dude, okay, come on. Jonathan's... Defensively, they had young Starlo Tulele.
Yeah, Charles
Kawan
Johnson.
Short, Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, Shaq Thompson, Josh Norman, Kurt Coleman back when Kurt Coleman was good. Dude, it was a good team.
No, it was a really good team, but they made it to the Super Bowl, Ben.
Well, right. My salient That's point the... here being this. Okay, here's my salient point. Newton, 2015, revelation. Even that back half of 2017 when he looked fully returned and healthy and whatever, like, this is a quarterback you cannot adequately prepare for because he can do things that you just cannot defend.
I would agree.
Rivera immediately gets hired for that Washington job after he gets fired, and Newton doesn't even have a trade partner. And I wonder if we have that backwards a little bit. And again, I like the Rivera hire for Washington. I'm not all the way in on this take. It's just, like, Newton was not traded for because I firmly believe this. Newton was not traded for because nobody could get their team doctors to look at him because he can't travel.
Yeah, right? Like, no, so that...
Rapp had the tweet.
That very well
where
could
Rapp
be the
like,
case.
Like, yo, Newton took a physical in Atlanta with the help of Carolina, and they sent the results to all 32 teams, and Newton's healthy, and he's going to go do this, go do that, whatever. If you can't bring him into your team and have your team doctors look at him, it's never going to be the same. And
right.
I firmly believe that if he, because like they say he's all healthy, I firmly believe if he was actually all healthy. And teams could actually bring him in and have him checked out by their doctors, somebody would have traded for this.
Here's a question now too, because I don't know if I believe it, that last part. I think that it certainly hurt his trade market that nobody could bring him in. I think that it certainly hurt that. But I wonder if teams were observing the relationship between Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, seeing how sour it was, and knowing that they were going to release him. Because I think that was probably in the minds of a lot of NFL teams, where they could be flexible with his deal. They didn't have to sit with that final year that Carolina gave him, and they could shape however they signed him into whatever they wanted. Then the flip side of that is, oh, well, you're opening the door for another team to come in and swoop in on him. Well, at this point in time, there's not a lot of teams that would really pony up for the amount of money that Newton's probably going to garner. It's really, what, the Chargers or New England? Basically, at this point, maybe Washington now with a different deal, but even that's still really up in the air. I would have said, to your previous point, I don't think Ron Rivera wants to be married to Cam Newton again. I don't think he wants to. I don't know if he ever has.
I think he wants to be married to Kyle Allen over Cam Newton, because he traded a fifth for Kyle Allen. I don't think
it's exactly like that. But
both were on the trade block.
Everybody was saying, yeah, but you know that trading for Cam Newton's a lot different for your position as a head coach than it is for trading Kyle Allen. It is not that one-on-one. If you trade for Cam Newton, especially when you've got a young quarterback there, one, you're bringing in a lot of quarterback controversy. You could say all you want, oh, quarterback that competition, it's healthy, it'll get the best out of each guy, these guys are hungry, blah blah blah. It don't work like that. These guys got egos and feelings and all stuff that like affects how they play and the attitude that they're gonna have and their outlook on the roster, like all this kind of stuff. That all goes into it when you bring in different quarterbacks. There is that human element of the game that is entirely there, to where trading for Kyle Allen does not make a statement at all whatsoever, other than this is a backup who we know. Trading for Cam Newton means this guy is going to be in a quarterback competition, if not be given the job starting outright, because we traded for him. So that's a totally different thing. And I honestly, even if Washington could have got their doctors to Cam Newton, I don't think Ron Rivera ever wanted to be married with Cam Newton again. Now,
So this brings up an interesting question that I want to ask you.
Sure.
Okay. Cam Newton is signed by Team X. I don't know who Team X is. You don't know who Team X is. But Cam Newton is signed by Team X.
All right, Des Bryant.
Do we think he is signed as the unquestioned starter? Or do we think, because of the tweets were like, oh, like, you know, there's no, like, most of the starting spots are filled on all the rosters. You know, I think Rappaport tweeted that, which, like, dude, you're not trying to convince me right now that Brian Hoyer is, like, entrenched as the starter in New England. Come on, sweetie. But anyway, do we think Newton enters a camp as maybe the favorite in the competition, a guy who's going to compete for the starting job? Or do we think that when he enters a team, he'll be saying, listen, I'm only signing a contract if you're guaranteeing me I'm starting week one?
Yeah, I don't think Cam has a lot of wiggle room there, does he? Because there's not really a lot of leverage for him to say that. Now, I think there's a difference between what might be thought of behind the scenes and what might be thought of from a PR standpoint. From a PR standpoint, if you sign Cam Newton, which I'm kind of the opinion that I think that Cam's going to sign a one-year deal, because if you're bringing Cam in at this point, the only way that you would sign him to a multi-year deal is if what you are saying right now is true. If he is going into this season, at least this training camp, as the unquestioned starter. Because that's the kind of money that he's probably going to ask for. He's not going to ask for like $30 million or anything, but it's going to be around the $20 million a year ballpark. And if it's a multi-year deal, then you're committing to him as a starter without like right away. If it's a one-year then you're bringing him in and saying, okay, you're here to compete. Now, like I said, behind the scenes, you might think in your mind, hell yeah, we signed Cam Newton to one deal. Obviously, if the guy's healthy, he's going to start. But on the surface, to the public, to us, and like to the, more importantly, to the people that are writing the contracts, they're writing it as if, yeah, you're going into a competition.
Right. So I wrote... And I don't know if you're listening to this before noon has been signed or after noon has been signed, whatever, but I wrote for the Draft Network on Tuesday, what could a Cam Newton contract look like? Because this is fascinating, right? Newton, the reason they're able to cut him is because there's only $2 million dead cap. It's because he's in the sixth year of a six-year deal. All of the guaranteed money's pretty much already been done through. This is just basically what remains of the signing bonus way back in 2014 or wherever the heck this was signed. He's due $21.2 million against the cap. Panthers cut him. Listen, $21.2 million of almost essentially all unguaranteed money for a quarterback is a really nice deal if Newton's a starting caliber player. Because if he is, it's a deal. And if he's not, if he's loses a competition, if he gets beat out by Tyrod Taylor in camp, if he gets beat out by Brian Hoyer or Jarrett Stidham in camp, I know this is unlikely, but I'm just saying, it's unguaranteed money. It's salary. Mm-hmm. So you can cut him, and you do not have to give him those game checks. But he's got over $18 million in game checks on that deal, and so you've got to pay him $1 million a week every single week he's on your roster, and that includes if he's on IR. He still is going to get his game checks. So if you're not trading for Newton on that deal, when you bring him in, the starting point is below that deal. There's no way you're giving him more than $20 million per.
But I think you can make the incentives go up that high,
right?
You know?
So that's the thing is, when you go and you start looking for contracts, it's so difficult because, again, and this has a lot to do with coronavirus and a lot to do with the limitations on the NFL being able to perform physicals on players in free agency and even in the draft sequence. You have to, obviously, if you sign Newton to any deal and he comes in with a failed physical, the deal's reneged. That doesn't matter. So it's not like confirming that he's a healthy body enough to be a person. It's about how likely he is to never get injured again, how likely he is to be available for 16 games. So you can build out his contract in annual game, per game bonuses, right? Which is what, like, somebody like Jacoby Brissett has for the Colts. Every game that he's on the active roster, so in the case of the Colts that he's starting, he makes $250,000. And that's making a lot of sense for the Colts because when they signed him to that two-year deal just to bridge from Andrew Luck, they didn't know if they were going to get Phillip Rivers this year or not get Phillip Rivers this
right.
year. And once you get Phillip Rivers, well, now you're going to pay him that money if he's your backup. But let's say you're able to trade him away to a guy who gets injured in camp on a different team. You trade Brissett away. Now that money's off the board. Brissett also had a roster bonus, $8 million, I think it was, that he got in 2020 fully guaranteed for still being on the roster now because the Colts weren't able to replace him in 2019. So the structure of the Brissett deal, 2 years, $30 million, $15 million per. It was a $10 million cap in year one. It's going to be a little bit more than $20 million in year two. That's the sort of structure Newton's going to be looking at. But I agree with you. I think he's going to try for a one-year deal or shorter mm-hmm. because if you're Newton, you are 30. 31? 30.
Well, hold on. 31. It doesn't get shorter than a one-year deal. You said a one-year deal or shorter. I'm just...
right. He's going to go for a one-year deal.
I'm going to sign a four-week deal.
Right.
like a 10-day NBA contract.
Yeah, right, exactly. Two-way deal? Yeah, so Newton is certainly going to go for a one-year deal, maybe a two-year deal. Mm-hmm. But when you're in your low 30s, Newton's going to want to hit the free agent market again because if he can put together one healthy season on a one-year deal...
Right, you cash
the next
out.
Deal, the next deal he's going to get is going to be significantly bigger than any second year he could get on a two-year deal,
yep.
or it's going to force the team that signed a one-year deal to franchise tag him, which the franchise tag with Newton in 2021 is a whole different, fascinating conversation. But so when you look at the Newton contract, the fact that no team traded for $21 million, 19 of which was non-guaranteed, means it's very unlikely to me that he gets signed for a deal that's in the $20 million per year range or above. I think he's going to be in the teens. And if your team, I don't care who they are, signs Cam Newton to a deal that's in the teens and not all that money is guaranteed and a lot of it is built into incentives based off of availability and playing time, who does not want this deal? This is Cameron Newton. This is Cameron Jarrell Newton, I think his middle name is. And I was looking at his Wikipedia page earlier. Regardless, the Newton contract is fascinating because it's an unhealthy player with unbelievable spikes who's always been inconsistent, who's late into the quarterback market in the middle of a national pandemic. Nobody prepared me for this. I have no idea how this is supposed to work. There's no precedent for this. It's really interesting to think about how that negotiating table is even going to sound.
So something that I want to bring up and spin it towards the NFL draft is you might be right here. You might be right in saying that the inability to get in front of team doctors could have been the reason why he didn't get traded for. Now, there are other factors, and that's why I say might. I'm not saying that this doesn't have any validity to it whatsoever. I'm just arguing how much validity. But if this is a presence in the Cam Newton situation even at all, how much does this affect Tua? How much are we putting in this with Tua? And I think it is less than Newton because it's a different situation. But less than Newton could, I mean, like, what? How many draft picks, how many draft spots are we talking here? Do you think any at all? Or do you think that it's not that big of a deal? Because you were, you know, you built up a pretty good case in here talking about how it could have really hampered what Cam Newton was able to do in terms of solidifying his stock or increasing his trade value. Now, what about if we turn it into draft stock then instead of trading stock for a guy who's recovering from a major injury like Tua is?
So I say less confidently because, number one, you had the combine, so you have met with Tua and you've had the ability to check him out. Like, Tua joked at his combine availability, his podium. I think I was the first dude in the hospital and the last dude out of the hospital. I think, like, they had, like, they were telling teams, like, I had to go to bed, and teams like, no, we need to meet him. You know, like, everybody wanted to see Tua and try to get a feel for how healthy he was. So there's that. Tua is also, you know, as I believe Rappaport reported, man, I just think everybody's Rappaport, don't I? Maybe it was somebody else. As I believe Rappaport reported about a week ago, when, like, you know, this the NFL was first beginning to adjust to the new climate given the coronavirus, teams will all be provided with scans of Tua's hip at the 5 month out, I think it is. Maybe it's the four.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be done by his personal doctor. Those wouldn't be done by team doctors anyway. It really doesn't change that much for Tua because he's going to continue to meet with his personal doctor regardless of the, like, that's an essential visit.
But how much does that hurt him is what I'm saying. Like, it's all coming from his personal doctor. Do we think that hurts him at all?
What I'm saying is if teams had been available to bring him in for visits, they would have had their team doctor look at him again, certainly. But all they're going to see is the exact same progression that the MRI scans that Tua provides will also be evincing, from what I understand.
Okay, but I may be wrong on that. Could I not make the same argument that Cam got his physical done and the physical could have been sent to any team and they could have looked at it? And yet,
because the team doctors have never once met with Cam. Well, team doctors have at least once met with Tua.
Okay, so you're saying that even though it was at the combine and not what would be close to a pro day or closer to draft day, you're saying that would hold more weight.
I believe so. It, mostly from, like, a psychological perspective here, but just you trust your guy more than you trust any other guys, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Right, and when you lob the idea of drafting Tua in the meeting room, your doctors are going to say with confidence, the experts in their field, We've looked at him. Everything we've seen to that point has been good so far. And then we got this scan and this scan looks good so far. And, like, I cannot pretend to be an expert in, like, what even to look at an MRI scan.
Why not? You do it on this podcast every day.
I don't even know which one is an MRI. Again, I'm talking from a purely, like, psychological perspective here. I think that having a meet with the team doctors is a huge difference. So That's my thing. Like, you know, we talk about Tua, like, once a week, you know, on this podcast, just, like, somehow, right? Everything kind of circles back home. But as, like, I think I've said for a while, you know what I mean? Like, I have always thought he's still just going to be at five or earlier. And, like, you know, nothing has really shaken me on that since then.
You talked over me roasting you and it was so good that I have to repeat it. Did you hear what I said?
No, I didn't. Sorry, go for it.
You said, I cannot even pretend to be an expert, and I cut you off and said, why you do that every day on this podcast?
Wow, okay. On medical field things, I'm going to throw that prepositional phrase just in the front this time.
Are we at all worried?
Yes.
That Matt Rhule is going nuts for players that he previously coached at Temple?
Four ex-Temple players on the roster, nine ex-Temple coaches. Let me be unequivocally clear, this is usually never a good idea.
Never idea.
But it's Temple boys, so I'm fine with it. Temple tough, baby. Go Philly.
Oh, man. Look, he's filling out the roster with guys he's familiar with, so it makes sense. I get it.
I mean, like,
it's just always
saying,
worrisome when college coaches get carried away with getting their college guys in there.
Right. Which, like, if P.J. Walker wins the backup job over Will Grier, cool.
Who really cares? He is. He's going to.
Yeah.
He's going to be the number two.
The thing about, like, Robbie Anderson is, if for any reason Robbie Anderson wants to play for you, I would be like, yes, Robbie Anderson, I agree with that reason. You know what I mean? Like it's not even like he, like, went, like, overpaid for a maybe good, possibly okay, and a role player. Robbie Anderson was probably the best free agent wide receiver left. And a 2-year, $20 million deal. This is a guy like they were talking about being like a $14 million player on a 1-year deal. And Anderson, from what like Peter Schrager tweeted out and whatnot, seems like he like Rule means a lot to him personally. And Anderson doesn't have like the greatest background, the greatest off field stuff and everything. Seems like Rule, his coach at Temple, really helped get him to the NFL. Sounds like Anderson's very motivated to play there for Rule. Like, you know, the Anderson signing, like, oh, you know, reunited with Rule Temple. Yeah, but also,
no,
like,
that's a good move. I'm not really criticizing any of the moves, actually. Like, I think Whitehead's fine. He's a rotational linebacker guy. I think PJ Walker's honestly going to be the backup quarterback, and I think that that's a great opportunity there. We talked about that a little bit previously. And then Robbie Anderson's just a good player. But I'm a little bit worried that this thought process could potentially get carried away and you start signing not good players who you just have previous college connections with, and that's where I'd get a little weird. I like these guys. I like the moves that he made, but the big one's obviously the Cam Newton one, and we're not exactly sure where he goes yet. Before we get out of here, I mean, teams that would be interested in Cam Newton, I don't really think Washington's going to be interested in him at all. I look at New England, and I look at the Los Angeles Chargers, and outside of them, man, if you're signing Cam Newton, you're doing it strictly as a backup. And I don't know if we're there yet at this point, but maybe we are and we're just not seeing it. Is there any team I'm not thinking of that could go after Newton?
Patriots?
Well, I said, yeah, New England and then the Los Angeles Chargers.
Jaguars
could be,
I mean,
one.
Like, yeah. The Jaguars seem fine with like Minshew, but also like maybe don't be fine with Minshew if Cam Newton's available. Just a thought.
You know, not a bad thought. Might need to build off of that one. Cam Newton on a new team. It's going to be weird no matter where he goes.
Cam Newton just looks too cool to be wearing the Jaguars uniforms. I'm sorry. I just like, Newton's too cool of a guy to have to wear those threads. This is my official take on Newton to the Jaguars.
I don't think the Jaguars' new uniforms are like terrible, but they're not great.
They're not good enough.
Speaking of, Rams logo. How do we feel about it?
Fine with it.
I only like the Ram head. I think the other ones are bad.
Yeah, like I don't love the LA with the horn, but like
yeah,
I think the Ram head is
no,
cool.
the LA with the horn's terrible.
Dude, I love the coloring, and I'd like to just make an official statement for the record.
Mm-hmm.
All NFL teams are cowards. Having
sure.
One of your base colors be white or black or gray for a couple, like Tampa's obviously got the pewter and like the Lions have that slate gray and whatever, but like the Rams, they are a bright freaking blue and a bright freaking yellow, and I love it. Like, good. And the Chargers are the same way. It's powder blue and the electric yellow, and like, do it. More teams should do it. I know, oh, it's college, no. Don't care, be cool, have two colors. You can do you can still use white and black. Nobody's like, that's not allowed. I love it. Colors are the best.
I was going to let you finish the color rant because Ben is passionate about uniforms. He's got opinions, and we're going to have more of them this week. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.